The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, comedy lessons from Milton Berle, and Vincent Price stars as Simon Templar on an episode of The Saint. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, comedy lessons from Milton Berle. Right now, Vincent Price stars as Simon Templar on an episode of The Saint from 1944 as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime is now transcribed for radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
Is the sweetheart you married the husband you expected him to be? Has the war created new problems for you in your marriage? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends and neighbors, Arid presents John J. Anthony, founder of the famed Marital Relations Institute, in a brand new program of daily sessions of kindly and helpful advice. Just as Mr. Anthony, by examples in this studio, is helping thousands of men and women solve their personal problems, Arid, too, is helping thousands to solve the important personal problem of underarm perspiration. Arid helps you avoid perspiration damage to clothes and safeguards friendships. Use Arid every day. It helps stop perspiration safely, and at the same time, Arid is a most effective deodorant.
Anything wrong, Captain?
Nothing serious, Mr. Templar. Just coming down here for a check. Go on just as soon as we can.
Oh, and where is here?
Headstone, New Mexico. Used to be a big silver mining town, but now it's just another little town, I guess. Although I did notice there's a carnival playing over on the edge of this emergency landing strip.
Well, how long are we to enjoy the hospitality of Headstone?
Oh, 2 or 3 hours. Long enough to see the town, have dinner if you like. Sorry to delay you, sir.
Oh, it's all right, Captain. I'm seldom bored in a strange town.
Well, you better go back and fasten your seatbelt, Mr. Templar. We're coming down now.
Right, I'll see you later.
Well, good evening, Saint.
You know me? Yet I don't seem to recall your face.
Harry Kelly, and you don't recall my face because we've never met, but I've seen many pictures of you, and so I recognized you immediately.
Well, that's very flattering. Tell me, Mr. Kelly, how can I get into town?
You can find a cab on the other side of the carnival. Planning on staying long?
Not at all. Should I?
On the contrary, I was just going to suggest that I doubt if Headstone would welcome the presence of the Saint. Just a friendly remark, you understand.
Oh, naturally. And if I may be permitted a friendly question, why are you telling me this?
Just an interest in the continued health of my fellow humans. If you have any trouble in town, look me up. Anyone can tell you where to find
me. I look, the big show is just about to start. See little Fatima, the girl who shakes and shivers like a bowl full of jelly. Only one dime, 10 cents, the tenth part of a dollar. Hurry. Step right up here.
What the stars hold for you. I read the past, the present, and the future. Learn your fortune, young man.
I already know it, Grandmother. I'm destined to meet a tall, dark, and beautiful woman. I'll settle for nothing less.
I see strange lines on your face, young man.
Huh?
I will tell your fortune without charge. Give me your hand. I see danger. Beware of a blonde young woman. She will bring you death.
There are worse ways of dying, Grandmother.
I see danger. Much danger for one with a halo about his head. Blood and death. Unless he travels, I see...
I think I'm beginning to get the idea. You might tell your crystal ball that I'm beginning to be interested. Goodbye, Grandmother, and may the saints bless you.
Taxi, mister?
Oh, thank you. Say, do you suppose you can drive me somewhere that serves a good dinner?
Sure. Silver Dollar Hotel.
Oh, fine.
You know, I was just sitting there communing with nature about how many guys there are who blow their wad to watch some dame do a hula but won't spend a dime on a hack.
Do I detect a touch of Brooklyn?
How could you miss? That's me, chum. Ziggy from Flatbush. I used to drive a hack in Brooklyn. Now I own the only hack in Headstone. It's light, huh? You know, I ain't seen a Brooklyn Bridge for 10 years since I come out here for my health. It's a smart man who knows when it's healthy to get out of town.
Meaning what?
Does everything have to mean something? Me, I mind my own business. I stay healthy. That's why I'm living in Headstone instead of under one.
I see. But if you didn't mind your own business, I suppose you'd give me some advice about leaving Headstone. Is that it?
No advice, Mac. That's part of minding my own business. Headstone is a great place for strangers to visit. If they paid up their insurance.
Here you are, waiter. Very nice dinner. My check, please. No, thank you. Keep the change.
Hello.
Well, this is a surprising hotel. First a beautiful dinner, and then an even more beautiful blonde.
May I sit down?
Oh, by all means, Miss...
Betty Conley. You're Simon Templer?
I should have worn my dark glasses. But now that the truth is out, you might as well call me Simon.
All right, Simon.
Now, how did you know who I am? Now, don't tell me that you were just passing and recognized me.
Well, Ziggy told me that you were here. He owns and drives the taxi here in Headstone.
I know I shouldn't look a gift blonde in the hair, but why did Ziggy tell you I was in here?
Well, Ziggy knows that I need help, and he thought, well, that is, since you're the saint, you might help me.
Well, I have been known to help beautiful blondes on occasion. But tell me why you should need help, Betty.
Someone's been trying to kill me.
Well, there should be a law against that. Are you sure?
I've been shot at twice, and everybody here has been very unfriendly, except Ziggy and a man named Harry Kelly.
I've noticed the unfriendliness in this town, but being unfriendly towards you is obviously an indication of insanity.
Oh, please don't joke about it. I'm frightened.
All right, my dear. Now tell me about it.
Well, my father was known as Silver Slim Conley. He lived here for years. But he sent me east to school when I was very young, and I didn't come back here until recently. My father died about a month ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was broke, and all he left me was his old silver mine. He called it the Betty Mine, after me.
And I take it somebody wants the mine.
No, the mine is completely worthless. There hasn't been any silver in it for years.
But, my dear, you were shot at twice. Have you any idea who did the shooting?
No, but it might be the same man who told me to get out of town.
Oh, who?
Mike McCarthy. Ziggy says he's an eastern gangster who's been living out here for several months.
Well, I've never been able to say no to a pretty girl. You mentioned a man named Harry Kelly before. Just who is he?
He knew my father. He's been very friendly to me, although he thought I ought to leave town, too.
I've met Mr. Kelly, and he intrigues me very much. I think we'll go see you.
All right. Oh, just a minute. Hmm? There was some red dust on your coat.
Oh, thank you. Ziggy apparently doesn't get enough passengers to keep his cab dusted. Did you say Ziggy was parked outside in his chariot?
Mm-hmm. He was when I came in. Oh, there he is.
Yes, looking exactly as if he were back in Brooklyn. Ziggy!
Oh, so she found you, huh?
Thanks to your bird dogging, which I must admit in this case has done much to overcome any natural prejudice against cab drivers that I might have. Say, do you know where Harry Kelly lives?
Sure.
And let's go then. Huh? Hey, don't you ever clean out this hack? What's all this dust?
Well, who knows? Maybe it was that redhead that hired me yesterday. So she had dandruff.
Ziggy, you missed your calling. You're as funny as an undertaker. Well, now, Ziggy, I don't suppose you'd care to tell me why you warned me to get out of Headstone.
Got me all wrong, Saint. I wasn't warning you. I was just talking about myself.
And I don't suppose you'd care to tell me why somebody took pot shots at Miss Connolly here and told her to get out of town, too.
Me, I don't know nothing. Like I was telling you, Saint, I mind my own business. Maybe you stay ignorant that way, but it's healthier, and I like it like that.
And in that case, why did you send Miss Connolly in to see me?
Well, like you can see, she's a pretty little pigeon. She needs to know some guy will help her. Now, it ain't no secret that the Saint goes around mixing in other people's business, so I tell her to see you.
And who told you I was the Saint?
I got eyes in my head, ain't I? Like I said, I used to hack in Brooklyn. I got around.
What about this Mike McCart?
Strictly smart money, Saint.
Huh?
A lot of guys have crossed his path once, if you get what I mean.
What about Harry Kelly?
Local stuff. A nice schmo, but no more.
You're doing all right for a guy that doesn't know anything.
You got me wrong, pal. Ziggy, he looks people over, but he don't see nothing except one guy is tough, another guy is a schmo, and maybe another guy is too nosy.
I really don't think we should try to involve Ziggy, Simon. He's been very nice as it is.
Yeah, she's got something, pal. I ain't really equipped for it, because the way you're headed, only a saint could feel at home. Saint, Kelly lives on the first floor in the room.
Oh, thanks. Wait for us, Ziggy. We've got a couple of other calls to make after this.
Don't worry, I'll wait. If you get in any trouble, just yell. Then I'll drive over and tell the sheriff I heard somebody yell for help.
Oh, thanks, pal. Come on, Betty. Well, I hope our friend is in and that he talks.
Yes. Strange. Harry telling you to come and see him if you had any trouble. If he had any connection with me, then why hasn't he said something to me?
Well, he sounded to me like a cautious man. Maybe he did know something, but didn't want to say anything unless he felt sure something was going to be done. Well, we'll soon know.
Yes, who is it?
Simon Templer.
Oh, the saint. Just a minute.
Those shots were in that room.
This is no time for conversation, darling. We're going in.
Oh, but...
Like this.
Kelly.
Simon?
Kelly. Kelly, this is Simon Templer.
Saint?
Yes, Kelly, the saint. Who shot you?
The window. The saint. The mine. Saint.
Kelly. Well, Betty, he isn't going to tell us anything now. This killer did a very thorough job. Window open. Must have shot from here. There's a shell on the fireplace.
But what was he saying?
Sounded like sin. Come on, Betty. We're going to spread a little saintliness. And I think I know where to begin. Ziggy, didn't you hear anything?
Well, I noticed some noise, but like I thought...
I know. You mind your own business.
Are we going to the sheriff's, Simon?
No, not yet. Ziggy, who's the assayer in this town?
Old man Matthews. The office is closed now, but he lives right ahead there. That big white house.
Okay, stop there.
But, Simon...
I'd like to satisfy a little curiosity about that mine of yours. I'll be right back. You stay in here, Betty.
What do you want?
Mr. Matthews.
Who else should be here? It's my house, ain't it? What do you want?
My name is Simon Templer. I wanted to ask you if you know the Connolly Silver Mine.
I know every mine within 200 miles of here, young fella. Hey, ain't that Betty Connolly sitting up there in that taxi?
Yes.
Then why can't she tell you about the mine? She owns it.
Well, she has told me, but I just wanted to check about the possibility of a mistake. How much silver would you say there was in the Connolly mine?
About enough to put in your eye and still leave room for your finger.
Couldn't there be a hidden vein in it?
Nope. There ain't been enough silver around here to make a dime for years and years.
Could there be anything else of value in it?
Mud and water, if you call that valuable.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. Young fella, I've been here man and boy for 70 years, and I ain't got no time to stand around answering darn fool questions. Goodbye.
Well, goodbye. Betty, you may be right. Old man Matthews says the mine is worthless, too. So, Ziggy, take us to see Mike McCarthy.
Are you sure you want to go there, Sam? If I was you, I'd get on that plane. It's leaving pretty soon.
No, Ziggy, I've decided not to leave Headstone just yet. Later, you can drive me over to Albuquerque, and I'll take the chief the rest of the way.
Okay, chum, it's your funeral.
Please be careful.
Don't you worry, Betty. The Halo Wearers Benevolent Association would be very upset if anything happened to me. I'll be right up.
Yeah?
I'm looking for Mike McCarthy.
Well, you found him.
It's my Boy Scout training. It never fails. My name is Simon Templer.
The Saint?
I've been known by that name.
So what?
That's a very interesting question. I must try to think of an answer sometime. Meanwhile, I thought you might like to know that I heartily disapprove of your telling a certain Miss Betty Connolly that she ought to leave town.
What's the girl to you?
That's my business.
I could make it mine. And if I do, your halo's going to slip down and start choking you.
I thought bullets were more in your line.
Meaning what?
Meaning the shots fired at Miss Connolly in a little gunning job only a few minutes ago.
I didn't do any gunning. But I'm liable to if you don't beat it.
You sound so sure of yourself, Michael.
That's because I got more in my hand than an itching palm.
That's a very pretty gun, Mike. But I'm very much afraid that nothing will satisfy my curiosity short of knowing why you want to get Miss Connolly out of town.
I got answers for nosy eyes. Six of them. I just stand right there. Stay away from that desk, Saint, or
don't worry, Mike. I have no interest in the desk at all. But I do have an interest in Miss Connolly. Now, Michael, I'll bid you adieu.
What happened, Simon?
Oh, not much, I'm afraid. The conversation was just getting interesting when Mike had a sudden attack of dropsy.
That's funny. I never heard of him being sick.
Oh, that's because you mind your own business, Ziggy, like you told me. Betty, where is that silver mine of yours?
About 2 miles out of town.
Is there any place in town where we can rent a car?
Well, why, I have a car. Why?
I feel a prospecting urge coming over me. Ziggy, take us to Miss Connolly's car, and then we can dispense with your valuable services.
What's wrong with my cab?
Nothing, Ziggy. It's just that I don't like people looking over my shoulder, especially when I visit a lonely mine in the company of a beautiful girl.
Here's the Betty mine, although I don't know why you want to see it.
Frankly, I don't know either. But as long as I'm here, I might as well take the 40-cent tour.
Certainly, sir. Right this way. This old cable car goes down into the mine. All we have to do is stand on the platform and pull the cable. It works with balanced weight.
Clever, these 49ers. How far down?
On the 40-cent tour, we give the exact distance. 354 feet, 6 inches.
Thank you. And thank you for having electric lights in a mine that hasn't been worked for years.
Oh, the mine has its own battery. See? Here's a bulb on the car. Shall we go down?
What are we waiting for? Let's go. Maybe the light will go out.
Just hold it like that. I've been waiting for you two.
Well, Michael McCarthy, I was wondering if we were going to have your company.
And this time, wise guy, don't try anything.
Don't tell me, Michael, that you're going prospecting with us.
I'm riding down with you, but I'm coming back alone. Start the car down, Saint, but don't try no tricks.
You have a suspicious mind, Mike. Well, here we go. Call out your floors, please. Mezzanine, ladies' underwear, galoshes, and accessories.
You'll be singing a different tune pretty soon, Saint. You both had your chance to leave town your way. Now you're going to leave my way.
Oh, Simon, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be, Betty. This is my first ride on an open cable car.
It'll be your last.
I wouldn't be too sure. Unless that cable breaks before we get to the bottom.
What are you talking about?
Sucker! Little crowd in here for a 1-2, so I guess a 1.5 will have to do.
Oh, Simon. How terrible.
There now, Betty. It's all right.
Oh, but Simon, it could have been you. He almost knocked you off the platform, too.
Yeah, it was the padded shoulders in my coat. I felt them hit the side.
Oh, look at your shoulders. They're covered with dirt from the sides of the shaft.
Yeah. Huh. It's red dirt. Wait a minute. Well, we can go back up, Betty. Mike doesn't need our help, and I don't need anybody to answer questions anymore.
I'll never understand you. Why did you look at the dirt on your coat and say you didn't need any more questions?
Because that dirt was red sulfide, Betty. And it explains why Mike was so anxious to run you out of town.
Well, I don't see how. Red sulfide is used in paint, but that doesn't make it valuable.
Red sulfide is also cinnabar ore from which we get mercury, and that is pretty valuable. Evidently, your mine is rich in cinnabar, so it's worth a lot of money, Betty.
Oh, then that was what Kelly was trying to tell us when he said sin.
Yes, he was trying to say cinnabar.
How can I ever thank you, Simon?
Well, I have a couple of ideas on the subject. Oh, but now people would say I was chasing you for your money. So, I guess you can just see me off on the train. We'll stop in town and have Ziggy drive us to Albuquerque.
Oh, but I'll drive you.
Now, I insist on taking a cab. I don't want you coming back alone. I may want to change my mind about fortune hunting.
Well, like I said, Saint, I'm glad to see you leave. This town is just funny about strangers, but hadn't you ought to take Miss Conley with you?
But she doesn't have to go now, Ziggy, and besides, she's rich.
What?
Yes, Ziggy, we found out that Dad's mine is valuable after all.
You mean you found silver in it?
No, mercury.
Oh, the stuff they put in thermometers?
That's the stuff, Ziggy. But it's used for a lot of other things, particularly in wartime, and it's worth a lot of money.
Well, what do you know? So that's why Mike was trying to make you leave.
That's it.
Well, did you stop and tell the sheriff?
We didn't have time, but I'll see him when we go back.
Oh, that's pretty nice for you, ain't it, buddy? Oh, here we are. Just in time, too. The chief's in, all right.
Very nice timing, Ziggy. Thanks, Betty, for keeping my forced visit to Headstone from being dull.
Oh, Simon, well, why don't you stay in Headstone? I won't know how to run the mine or what to do with the money or anything.
You'll learn, Betty. You know what to do when you get back to town?
Yes, but will the sheriff believe me? I mean, about Mike McCarthy killing Harry Kelly.
I don't think he will, since Mike didn't kill Kelly.
But
Kelly was shot with an automatic. He ejected a shell on the fireplace, remember? But Mike McCarthy carried a revolver. You saw it.
Yes, but will the sheriff...
Oh, the sheriff will believe when you show him that the gun that killed Kelly is in Ziggy's pocket.
What? What are you talking about?
You knew about the cinnabar ore in the mine. You carried some of it away to be tested in your cab. And there was red dust in it, which you tried to explain with a corny gag.
You're crazy.
Harry Kelly had an idea what was going on, so you slipped around to the back while we were at the front door and killed him.
All right, wise guy, you're so smart. What about Mike?
Mike was working for you.
But Simon, Ziggy told me that you were in town.
Sure, he couldn't be sure that I wasn't here to break up his little scheme, so the smartest thing to do was to get us together so he could watch both of us. He thought I would use his cab, as I did, and it would be easy. But he slipped up when he sent Mike out to the mine ahead of us. Ziggy was the only one who knew where we were going.
Okay, pal, you asked for it.
This time's a weakheart.
Like you said, pal, you should have followed your own advice about minding your own business.
What?
Well, he's all yours, Betty. The gun that killed Kelly is now on the seat beside him. All you have to do is turn the body and the gun over to the sheriff, and from there on in, he'll mind Ziggy's business for him.
But, Simon...
Don't worry, Betty. I'll stop back someday to make sure that Venus is in conjunction with Mercury.
You have just heard another adventure of the Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now, here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, how many times there have been men just like Ziggy led into crime by insatiable greed, forgetting the simplest truth so aptly phrased by John Dryden. Murder may pass unpunished for a time, but tardy justice will o'ertake the crime. This is Vincent Price extending a personal invitation to all of you to join us again next week at this same time for another adventure of The Saint. Good night.
Tonight's script of The Saint was written by Michael Cramoy. Our cast included Harry Bartell, Barney Phillips, Colleen Collins, Fred Howard, and Tony Barrett. The music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. The Saint is a James L. Safier Agency production and was transcribed and directed by Thomas A. McAvity. Don't forget that The Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer, Merrill Ross. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and an episode of The Saint starring Vincent Price as Simon Templar. First broadcast on radio on July 31st, 1944. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, Milton Berle is the special guest on Guest Star presented by the U.S. Treasury Department. Right now, here's Bob Beverly and Helen O'Connell with the Jimmy Dorsey Orchestra singing Green Eyes from 1941 as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
With their soft lights, your eyes that promise sweet nights, bring to my soul a longing, a thirst for love divine. In dreams I seem to hold you, find you and enfold you. Our lips meet and our hearts too, with a thrill so sublime. Those cool and limpid green eyes, a pool wherein my love lies, so deep that in my searching for happiness I fear that they will ever hold me. All through my life they'll taunt me, but will they ever want me? Green eyes, make my dream come true.
Nobody can act up to par with a nasty cold. I check my cold distress the fast way with four-way cold tablets.
Yes, tests of four leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting of all. Amazing four-way starts in minutes to relieve aches, pains, headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
Four-way is the fast way to relieve those cold miseries. Then you feel better quickly.
Four-way cold tablets, only 29 and 59 cents.
Have you invested in United States savings bonds this week?
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is your host, Kenny Delmar, introducing Guest Star, one of a series of programs produced and transcribed in New York and presented by this station and United States Savings Bonds as a public service. Featuring Dennis Segay of the Savings Bonds Orchestra and our guest for this program, one of America's most beloved comedians, Milton Berle. Part of every introduction is the corny line, "Now it's my pleasure to introduce." Well, this is one of the times that the pleasure is real.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yes, it is. It really is. Meet our guest star, my old schoolmate, one of show business most outstanding stars,
yes,
on the air, in vaudeville, musical comedy, and movies.
Yes.
Is that good?
Yes,
the
sir.
Jolly Jester, Milton Berle.
Thank you.
You can get up off your knees.
Yes,
now,
thank you. I was building up the applause sign there for the.
Oh, I see.
Well, thank you very much, Kenny Baker. Kenny Delmar. No, I'm only kidding. I want to say there's only one Kenny Delmar, and that's Harry Von Zell. It is a pleasure. Say, what was that build-up you just gave me, that jolly jester? Then what is it? Lucky I'm not Jack Benny, or he'd introduce me as the Wigged Wag.
Well, gosh, Milton, should we
that's
go
the
on?
First take. That's, go ahead.
Well, Milton, it seems like old times being with you again. Remember back at good old professional children's school?
Yeah, school days. Those were the days. What days, Kenny? Nothing like the good old days. But the nights are better now.
Well, I'll never forget even now, Milton. You were always going around telling jokes and trying out routines on all us kids to get our reactions.
Yeah, Kenny. Even then, I wanted to become a comedian.
Tell me, Milton, do you still want to become a comedian?
Yeah.
It's very good. Who writes for you, the ushers? You know what? Oh, I'm surprised at you, Kenny. You saying that to me, went to school with me, you're my pal, my buddy, the guy I sat in class with for years. Same class. Remember, Kenny, remember our literature class?
Yeah, you kept flunking because you said the Divine Comedy was written by Joe Miller.
Oh, that laid there, didn't it?
Milton, you always...
What?
You were always a student of comedy.
I was a what?
A student of comedy.
Yes, I was.
Yes.
I mean, I was, yes. For example, lately, Kenny, I have been studying radio comedy.
Uh-huh.
And as I see it, radio comedy is broken down... You know, if I stop there, that's perfectly a good line. Radio is broken down, period.
It's the summer, you know.
Yes, well, I know. Yes, it's hot. Well, there are three types of radio comedy shows, Kenny. The first show is built around the comedy team. How about helping me show the folks what it's like?
Well, sure thing, Mo.
All right, let's do that. The Rabbit and Loudfellow Show.
Hey, Rabbit!
Loudfellow, where have you been? I've been standing here waiting for you for so long, my corns are popped. What do you think?
Walla, 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 walla,
walla, walla, walla, walla, walla, walla, walla, walla, walla.
Now, you see, this type of show... This type of show operates on the theory that confusion is a reasonable facsimile for comedy, and that a yell is related to a bambula, a yacht. But this is the sort of show where a joke is called a gag, because it has that effect on the listener. Let's try it again.
Yeah. Well, come on there, Longfellow. Tell me, where have you been?
Loudfellow, not Longfellow.
Oh, Loudfellow. I was poetic. I'm very
yes.
lyric.
Hiawatha Schwartz. Go ahead. Yeah.
Tell me, Chief Loudfellow, where have you been?
Oh, I'm Costello now. Yeah. Oh, what I just saw. Oh, but right at Hollywood and Vine, I saw a cop pinch a girl.
You don't say.
What?
You don't say.
What do you mean I don't say? I just said it. Not only that, but I just said it because I also, well, in addition, furthermore, I'll say it again. Right at Hollywood and Vine, I saw a cop pinch a girl.
Mm, yeah, really?
Yeah.
What did the girl do?
She pinched him back. Well, now you see... Now,
I got more laughs with the fossa, fossa, fossa.
Yes, you did. Well, I wouldn't call, Kenny, I wouldn't call this type of comedy low. Exactly, but let's face it, the only place it can go is up.
Well, I hear you're thinking of buying a chicken ranch.
Oh, boy, you bet, Rabbit. I'm going to have all kinds of little chickens. Soft little yellow ones, fuzzy little red ones, a fluffy little white one. Oh, I just love chickens.
Yeah, but you don't know anything about chickens.
Oh, don't know anything about chickens.
You don't.
Oh, I do, too. I know everything about chickens. Go ahead, ask me something about chickens. Go ahead, ask me anything. I know all of them.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Well, Mr. Know-It-All, suppose you tell me, why does a chicken cross the road?
Why does it, maybe it likes the other side of the road better.
No, that's not the reason.
How do you know? Did you ask it?
Brent, why did the chicken cross to the other side of the road?
I don't know. It wouldn't tell me.
Well, I'll tell you.
Why?
The chicken crossed the road for some foul reason.
Oh, no! Oh, murder, murder.
Well, the
it's
only...
Funny if this is an audition and we don't know it.
They destroy these things after we make them. They destroy
they
them all.
They should have destroyed it before.
The only thing that can be said for that type of radio comedy, Milton, is it makes the commercials sound so good.
Well, Kenny, commercials. On those shows, the corn isn't green. It's gruesome. But radio comedy show type number two is different, Kenny. Type two is built around the folksy... down-to-earth comedian. You know what a down-to-earth comedian is. That's a guy who slings mud around his family tree. And here's the idea. I'll show you.
The Sam Singes Show.
Howdy, folks. I just got a letter from my hometown, Unalurin, from my cousin Blub. It's my leisure cousin. He's as shiftless as a set of strip gears. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Well, Cousin Blub, whatever happened to Wendell Hall? Well, Cousin Blub wants to borrow some money off of me, so he and my Uncle Watergun, that's my short uncle. Of course, Watergun ain't his real name. They call him Watergun because he's such a little squirt. I'm gaining on you. Well... Well, Blub writes me as how he wants to borrow some money as Uncle Watergun and him's aiming to buy a farm. But I ain't going to lend him no money, because Cousin Blub may be aiming to buy a farm, but I know he's as aimless as a cap pistol and about as straight as a shooter.
Yeah, well, I see what you mean, Milton. The Sam Singer's type of comedian really gives the family skeletons a shake for a laugh.
A shake, Kenny. He rattles those skeletons so hard that the bones sound like castanets. But radio comedy show type number 3 is entirely different. This show is built around a great wit. A wit. That's a comedian who's been dipped in acid. Now, I'm going to give you an idea.
The Ted Fallon Show. Last week, the medical convention announced the discovery of a new anesthetic so powerful that 2 gallons can put 25 million people to sleep. But here's the man who does the same thing with one joke, Ted Fallon.
Kenny, you lied to me.
You notice I'm holding my nose while I'm reading this, don't you?
Kenny, you lied to me. You said that joke was made out of your head, and actually, you were out of your head when you wrote it. But don't worry, your joke may not have the studio rocking, but it does have it reeking. What's new in the news, Kenny?
Well, down in Clutterbuck Creek, Kentucky, Mrs. Cornelia B. Snaggletooth received 10 years in prison. The name got a laugh there.
Sure.
Yeah, 10 years in prison for shooting her husband dead in a drunken argument.
Well, Kenny, that's a miscarriage of justice. She shouldn't have had but half the sentence, because Mr. Snaggletooth was already half shot when he died.
Well, what is your question for the folks in Fallon's Flophouse tonight?
Well, Kenny, I'm glad you asked that question. This week, a campaign was started to... Do I sound like Jack Benny or Fred? This week, a campaign was started to increase sugar beet acreage to make us independent of imported sugar. So my question tonight is, what do you think about sugar beets?
Shall we go?
Shall we get out of here?
Thank you, Lou Holt. Well, Kenny, here we are in Fallon's Flophouse. Let's try the first door, Mr. Totter. Hello, Mr. Totter. Tell me, what do you think about sugar beets?
I'm against 'em. I tried 'em. Put 10 acres out in sugar beets last year.
What was the trouble? Bad crop?
Nope. Crop came up okie-dokie, but them sugar beets wasn't practical for sweetening.
Sugar beets weren't sweet enough?
They were sweet enough, I reckon, but when I put one in a cup, there weren't no room for coffee. So long, city slicker.
Well, well, how do you like that? The stooge gets a bigger laugh than we do. Well, let's see.
Don't forget, he went to professional school, too.
Well, let's see what Mr. Blinkenshop has to say.
Greetings, Mr. Felony.
Well, how are you, Mr. Blinkenshop?
I'm a very sick man, even for me.
All right.
Yesterday, I went to the doctor, which is telling me to keep my temperature down. Excuse me, I must look on my thermometer.
Wait, Mr. Blinkenshop, you've got the thermometer in the wrong place. You've got it between your neck and your shirt.
Naturally. The doctor is telling me not to get hot under the collar.
Yes, too much heat under the collar can cause blowing of the top. Tell me, Mr. Blinkenshop, what is it? Yes.
God bless you.
You're welcome. Is that any relation to Shasta? Is that any relation to Shostakovich?
Could be.
Shostakovich small by a waterfall. Mr. Blinkenshop, I wasn't talking about. Sugar beets, Mr. Blinkenshop.
Where are we? Who is needing sugar with borscht? He's needing sour cream with borscht. My uncle Wanya, he was all his life absolute nuts for borscht. He had 2,000 acres beets for borscht. Well, one morning he gets up in the morning, which is all right so far.
Yeah, sure.
But he can't get up from bed,
yeah.
So he don't get up.
Yeah.
He knows that he was dying,
yeah.
So he looks up.
So we.
Come back here, yes. I don't finish. I got to finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
He looks out the windows on all his 2,000 acres beets. His eyes are filling with tears.
Yeah.
Beets, he says, my beautiful beets, I am dying.
Yeah.
I am going to be living you forever. Forgive me, because after all, you know, even the borscht of friends must part.
Ah, these Russians and their borscht. You know, there's an old Moscow maxim that says, try borscht, you can't beat it. There must be a joke there someplace, but this is no time to go on a scavenger hunt.
Listen. That's our guest star theme that so many of our listeners have written in about wanting to know the title and lyrics and so forth. So here's the title, Hap, Hap, Happy in Love. And here are the Savings Bonders and the Savings Bond Orchestra under the direction of Dennis Agay to sing and play it for you. Hap, hap, I say happy in love. That is.
It's goodbye to my blues song, for I'm sad now with the news from Mr. Bisbee. Look out, it's my day to shout, I'm hap, hap, happy in love. In my home, see my feet, can't hear my heart.
Yes, millions of Americans are insuring their future while investing in their country with United States savings bonds. And every time they remember the United States savings bonds pay back $4 for every $3 invested in just 10 years' time, why, you should see them beam.
Well, that's just natural. After all, not only are they getting that 4-for-3 payoff, but their United States savings bonds are the safest, the finest investment in the world.
And watching savings grow steadily by regular investment in United States savings bonds through the easy automatic payroll savings plan is really a surefire way to keep anyone smiling.
And the payroll savings plan is so easy and automatic.
Well, it, all you have to do is to tell your boss to invest a certain amount from your pay envelope each payday in United States savings bonds. And you yourself set the amount to be invested. That's all you have to do. The bosses take care of the rest. And you're set on a career of planned, steady, regular, automatic savings. The best way with the best investment, United States savings bonds.
This is your host, Kenny Delmar, signing off for Guest Star, one of a series of programs produced and transcribed in New York and presented by this station and United States Savings Bonds as a public service. Our sincere thanks to Milton Berle for being with us today. And until next we meet, here's a question to remember.
Have you invested in United States Savings Bonds this week?
They're a goodbye. Goodbye, that is.
During the war, the Navy had to paint thousands of new craft of all kinds, from motor launches to battleships, with millions of gallons of paint. They had to get the job done in a hurry, and there weren't enough paintbrushes because the supply of hog bristles from the Orient was cut off. Well, for some time, the DuPont Company had been experimenting with nylon for bristles. Nylon drawn out in a single filament like a thin wire. The Navy asked DuPont to supply paintbrush manufacturers with nylon bristles. Well, it wasn't an easy assignment, but we did get the bristles into quantity production, enough to let the Navy have quite a few paintbrushes, 2 million, in fact. And as production went up, it was possible to bring the price down. It may be an old story, but there's a reason for telling it to you. Now, millions of Navy men are home. They use nylon brushes in the service or saw them used. Master painters and other people have heard about them, and the demand for paintbrushes with nylon bristles is way ahead of the amount of bristles we can furnish to paintbrush manufacturers until more plant capacity can be installed. Everything possible is being done toward this end because interest in the new paintbrushes is so keen, we'd like to take this opportunity to answer a few of your questions about them. Bristles of nylon are exceedingly tough. Tests have shown them to have many other outstanding characteristics, such as outlasting natural bristles from 3 to 5 times. And being man-made, they're more uniform than the natural ones. They aren't affected by solvents used in varnishes, paints, stains, lacquers, or calcimine. They're easier to clean. They aren't attacked by moths or mice or any other vermin. The natural bristles we manufacture today pick up more paint than natural bristles. And the performance of a nylon-bristled brush improves with age. The demand for nylon paintbrushes right now is so great that you may not be able to find a brush at your neighborhood store, but when you do get one, we're sure you'll be as pleased as we are with this new addition to the list of DuPont, Better Things for Better Living. through chemistry.
She lives two flights up, and she sends me with a smile. Well, she calls me her lover, well, and a beggar too. Yeah, she calls me her lover, well, and a beggar too. Ain't you sorry, little girl, that my new little girl ain't you?
Golden Age of Radio on WMKY. Walter Brown with Jay McShann and Hootie Blues from 1941. We also heard Milton Berle as a special guest on Guest Star, presented by the U.S. Treasury Department and hosted by Kenny Del Mar. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.